Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
This episode is powered by denmeditation.com. Though meditation is the primary focus, the bigger goal is for people to understand and love themselves, thus creating more harmony in the community at large. To find out more about Den Meditation's teacher training programs, retreats, and all things Zen meditation, go to denmeditation.com.
You have such an inspiring story that I know people are going to be really intrigued. And also it's not even just your story. You've now like harnessed so much information to really help others kind of step into a higher frequency. And I think that's amazing. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. But it's really interesting. You now live this life kind of as a medical medium and someone who's really healing and doing incredible stuff. But you didn't start that way. You know, some people, you know, come out the gate and they know this is the stuff they have to do. And it's interesting how, you know, and I'd love to talk about your story a little bit, how you had two near-death experiences to even get you here. And it was kind of almost, and correct me if I'm wrong, it felt like almost a remembrance, like having to go through these big shakeups to get you to really remember what you kind of had, because you tell these really great stories of being a child with doing some of the things you do now. I don't want to spoil it, but they were nothing but just like almost annoyances back then. And it was almost like you needed these big shakeups to even look at all these things differently.
I can remember back when I was born that I just was different. I was told by my dad that, and my grandmother, that I would always look down at my hands and I would say, oh, I was reincarnated. And they would say, well, who told you that word? And I would say, I don't know. And I just would say that word all the time, that I was reincarnated and they forgot to change my hands.
Ooh, well, what does that mean? Like now that you're more connected?
To me, it just means it was a way that I would make up for people teasing me in school. I was bullied a lot. No one wanted to hold my hands. They had a lot of lines at a very young age. And I was always putting my hands down on people that were injured. I would rub them together. I felt a lot of heat in my hands. And I would always naturally want to heal people and heal kids when they were sick at school. And I just naturally would do that. There was lots of little incidences when I was a baby, 4, 5, 6 years old. There was a bird outside that had died and I rubbed my hands together, put my hands down on the bird, started praying, and the bird came back to life.
Wow.
And my grandmother had suffered asthma as a child, and she had moved to Long Beach. That's how they ended up in Long Beach, to be by the ocean to help her breathing. And I didn't know, as a very young little girl, I would climb up on her lap and I would rub my hands and put it on her chest and her throat and do like praying on her. She was Jewish, so I would pray in Hebrew and I would just rub her all the time on her chest. And then to the day she died at 95 years old, I was praying for her. And I don't think she would have lived that long. Even the doctor said she probably would have died much younger if I hadn't been doing the prayers for her whole life.
Now talk about, because you're saying you pray, like, and I know a lot of times now too, you use a Hail Mary, and that's come to you at different times in your life. When you say you prayed, you know, in Hebrew, like, how did you know what to do? Is it you heard? Were you very devout and different? Were you studying religions as a kid, or did this stuff just come to you?
I was raised in a dual household in Hebrew and Christianity. Well, my mom was Catholic and my father was Jewish, but she converted to Judaism. And I was converted as, I think, 4 years old. But my mom was converted to Judaism too when she married my father.
Oh, wow.
So our house was Jewish, but I still knew all the prayers. I knew all the prayers in Catholicism, and I knew all the prayers in Judaism. I always really felt more Jewish, though. And now looking back, Jesus is Jewish, but that's a whole other thing to talk about. My eyes were blinking at the age of 5 years old. I remember it, but even younger, my grandfather was holding a camera at following me around with my eyes that would blink and communicate with spirit. And he's crossed over now, but all of those videos and tapes and stuff, I have them. And I was communicating with spirit then at that age.
But you didn't know that then?
I didn't even know that until after my near-death experience. This was just 8 years ago. My mother didn't like it at all. My mom was afraid of it. In school, they thought I was, I was dyslexic, but they thought I had some kind of tic or something was going on with that.
Yeah.
So it just was, plus I had a really hard upbringing. It was not easy. I was told to stop blinking at the age of 7. So when I stopped communicating with spirit and my angels and guides, I forced myself to stop. So in the book, we talk about that and then tried to go on to being normal.
Now, was there a lot of turmoil in your household around then, like at 7? Like, was this an outlet for you kind of, and you didn't even realize it, the blinking? Were you getting support in ways you weren't even aware of?
I think as a young child, the blinking and being with grandma and running around and having connection with the angels and the guides was a really fun time for me. Yeah. And then once I stopped the blinking and my mom and married my stepfather, we moved to Hollywood and my mom started pursuing her acting career. Mm. And so it was a whole different world for me.
Yeah. And that's so interesting. And then you felt disconnected, even though you weren't really aware it was connecting you, correct?
Yeah. I never was really disconnected because, of course, they never really leave you, the guy. Right. But I did always carry a passion for God. And Mary and the guide. So they always stayed with me and protected me. So I was fortunate with that.
How did a passion for God and Mary and stuff translate as a child?
I always had carried a small little Bible under my pillow and just kept that with me.
And like for you, was that like, was there a vibration you felt with it, or was it a comfort, or did you hear voices, or was it like, talk to me about what that really meant for you?
I mean, I feel like it always, even as a little girl, I always knew there was spirits around me and I always saw spirit. I always felt spirit. And even though the eyes were not blinking and I wasn't communicating fully that way, I always saw spirits around and always were connected.
Okay. So then you went into nursing. And then you started doing this kind of cool dual life between like entertainment and working in the hospitals. Because you would actually sometimes be on screen, but also off screen telling people like, yeah, that's probable, not probable. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work like that. So you had this cool life, but then talk about that turning point of what happened when you got into your first accident.
Yeah. So I remember, I remember like around, I'd say 12 or 13 years old, wanting to just have this very strong, well, I had to go to work. I had to work to pay for clothes and care for myself. And so I remember thinking in my mind, I want to take care of people. I want to help people. So it was very strange. It was like, I want to go work in the hospital. So I begged my mom. I said, Mom, I want to work at the hospital. My mom had a drinking problem. She was a really bad alcoholic. And she said, okay, but you're too young. I said, well, maybe I could volunteer. This is how it started at the hospitals. So I started as an admitting clerk. But first I had to be a candy striper.
Mm.
So I started there. It was at St. John's in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had a surgery there.
I was a volunteer. And then I was able to be an admitting clerk. And I remember I was an admitting clerk and I said, I like this. I like being in here. And I remember some of the nurses like, this is the roughest job you could ever have. And I was like, but I really like it. And I remember feeling spirits then. I was like, I see things down the hall. I can feel things. And then I said, I'm going to become a nurse's aide and get my nurse's aide license. But I never thought about being a nurse. I just thought, I'll just do a little bit and be a nurse's aide. But being a nurse's aide is hard. You're turning people, you're changing them, you're dumping urinals. And I get chills right now thinking about it because I work some of the hardest floors, put people in bags,
yeah,
down to the morgue. I mean, those years were so hard. And I worked St. John's, Van Nuys Presbyterian, UCLA. And I worked long, hard hours and held many hands of people that died in my arms. And I don't know, it was just a lot for me to take. And at the same time, I was growing up with a mom that was really, really sick. And she took her life.
Mm.
And I lost my brother and my dad at the same time. They all died young.
Wow. Like within years of each other?
Yeah. And I was working to support myself at the hospitals.
How old were you at this time?
I was in my early 20s.
Oof.
To make a long story short, I started having some spiritual experiences at the hospital. Why I'm bringing this up. Paranormal experiences, where I would start like going in the rooms and the doctors would rush in and they'd say, you have 24 hours to live. And the person would say, oh my God. And I would hear in my ear, they're going to live. They're going to live. So I'd go over and I'd put a blanket over them and I would put my hand and I would say a prayer. And the person would wake up. Their eyes would wake up out of a coma. This is like way before anything. And the family would all speak Spanish. I knew no Spanish. They blah, blah, blah. And I would be, they'd look at me. They say, come back, come back, come back. And I would just be warming them with a blanket and doing like a little prayer. Then I would get called over from the nurse's station. The doctor said, what did you do? I said, nothing. I just put a blanket. I put a warming blanket and I said a prayer. He said she woke up out of a coma. And then I remember another surgeon came over. He says, you're not God's court. God's court is what God wants. So this went on for many years. I would be on the floors where we'd call a code or someone would come in, they'd have a death sentence and they'd end up walking out 2 days later, fine.
And when you say you could hear it, what did it sound like to you?
It's the same thing I always have heard as a child.
Which is?
A whisper in my ear.
Does it sound masculine, feminine, androgynous, loud?
Just very soft whisper. Not like a male or female. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's an omnipresent whispering to me, like when I died. And I went to the other side. It's the same whisper that I hear.
Now, so you've
it's, also- a whisper, it's a whisper, sorry,
no, that keep I, going.
I will say to me, am I going to live or am I going to die? Now, I'm not saying the answer because I can't. I'm not God. I'm just a messenger. And if the message comes to me that they say that you're going to live, then they'll say you're going to live.
Now, did you ever in those moments whisper then to the patients and say you're going to live, or would you just do the prayer and the prayer kind of transmuted it?
Well, back then, I wouldn't say anything. I would just do what they tell me to do, which was go get a blanket and warm them and say a prayer. This is back many years ago.
So like you'd get this whisper, they're going to live. And then you'd also get a whisper that's like, go to get a blanket, warm them up, say a prayer.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now, if I have a patient or a client talking to me about an animal that's maybe a vet has said the animal needs to be put down, can I have you do a healing? I will ask. And they'll say yes or no to do a healing. And is the animal going to live? I'll hear yes or no. Or say somebody's going to say to me, if I do a scanning and maybe I find something on a person's body because I'm a medical intuitive. And I also speak, you know, new thing is I speak to the other side with all the family members like to come in and talk. So if it's meant for you to live longer, because we all have to die, we can't live forever.
Right.
But if it's meant for you to live longer, I will hear a message say, they don't want you on the other side yet. They don't have any need for you. They'll say, yes, you're here to stay.
How often does the yes, you're here to stay come with anything more? Like, yes, you're here to stay because you still need to do X or because blah.
A lot, a lot. They're here. They'll say, we want you healed. We want you healed now. But then they give you an explanation for that. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I could imagine if you're passing that along to someone, that gives them such a renewed sense of purpose.
Yes. And what's so exciting about this is that a lot of times what's happened to me recently, just in the matter of 4 months, is a lot of times the mother or the grandma or the family is coming in and telling them this message. It's not me or my other, which used to be the, like the doctors and stuff. So it's like, oh, your mom crossed over, Mary, and the client will go, yeah, my mom did pass over. And I'll be like, Mary's telling me that they want you to do this. And they're like, oh yeah, my mom used to say that.
Like, well, she meant it and she still means it.
Yeah. So Mary wants you to do this because you weren't doing that. And you're here to stay and you, and God wants you healed, but you have to carry out this
mission.
You know, yeah.
So you're in this tumultuous time, you're losing so many people that are close to you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, simultaneously, you're finding a deeper purpose in healing others without searching for it. It's just there. Did it ever come? Did you ever feel like it was connected from through some of the passings of the loved ones?
You know, the hardest part was I was really close to my dad that passed, and my
in
mom
the book too. He really was just like you are his, like pride and joy.
I'm really close to my dad, and I was really close to my grandmother, who I dedicated the book to. And to reverse things around, my grandmother had a long life. So I was very lucky with that. We were like that, soulmates. But my mom and I were like that. But here's the really kind of doo-doo-doo-doo-doo kind of interesting thing. My mom and I had some headbutting, but mm-hmm. I always loved her, even if she was cruel to me. I always would say, I love you, mommy. But here's what's really, 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 some people are like, that's creepy. When she crossed, my Italian grandmother, so my mom's buried in a cemetery that's Jewish and Catholic, but she wanted the cross on her tombstone. And I wanted the infinity sign.
Hmm.
I got my way and I got the infinity sign on her tombstone. which means we never die. Well, now when I do my readings in big rooms and I see people, I'll see the infinity sign over people's heads, which means their loved ones coming back to make amends. Mm. So right away, if someone has crossed like a loved one, it'll fly over their head. And I'll say, did you have a mother or a father that passed away that you didn't have an ending that was so great and you're having, and they'll go, yes. So my mom is actually coming in from the other side and wanting to help me with my readings mm-hmm. and actually making amends and healing people's past wounds. So my mom started coming in about 3 years ago through the infinity sign. And that's called soul frequency readings. And that's my next book that I'm writing. Soul frequency and timelines is a very important healing tool. My mom's infinity sign on her tombstone when I was young, I looked at my grandma and I said, my mom is never going to die. She's going to come back and help somehow. And my grandma was like, how do you know that? I said, I know because my mom used to beat me every day and hurt and told me every day she wished I was never born. And she was extremely abusive. And I know one day she'll come back. But I didn't know I'd ever be a psychic or a medium like this. But right now, my mom has helped heal thousands of people just in the last 3 years, purge and forgive people from their family members that have hurt them. And I see this infinity sign, and that's through my mother.
And you're doing it together.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing.
And it's so weird how the eight is showing up. Even Sting, you know, the concert, is the eight infinity sign. The eight is showing up so much lately, which is so cool because it's a tie that never can be broken. But for me to be at such a young age and get in this fight, you never want to fight with an Italian.
No, trust me. I come from an Israeli family. I'm kind of familiar.
Like having the cross. I'm like, we're having the infinity sign. And I was really young. I'm like, it's the infinity sign, Chip. It's the cross.
But you got it. How did you win that one?
I do not know. Anyway, it's like, is it really on her stone? I'm like, yes.
So, I mean, I find that so beautiful. And I think it's a reminder, which you teach and you talk about this in the book. And I know you talk a lot about forgiveness in general. But I mean, I think it is, there is an interesting wave of healing when you're able to connect to this idea that this finite amount of time on earth is not the whole picture. And I think when you can open your purview to understand that you've probably done this dance in some form before, you've come to agreements on how to do the dance this time, as ugly as the dance may be, like your mom sounds like it was a really, really rough road on this lifetime. But then to know that there's more beyond must provide a lot of people, and obviously it provided for you, but so many more opportunities for healing, because then you're just not holding on to this one idea of failure or success or good or bad. You start to realize there's more intricacies to it.
Oh, yes. That's a perfect way of saying it. Yes. It's like you can say you forgive, but you want to like I'm getting chills from what you just said, because it's like this just workshop I just did at Omega Institute. Not only did we do the forgiveness prayer, but we purged it. We put the person in the third dimensional box. And then we wiped the slate clean. We moved ourselves into not only a fifth dimension, but a higher dimensional frequency where we felt cleansed and released, and that the person that harmed us is on our journey with us now and going to the next 10 years, which is 2033, which is the awakening, which is the ascension. They want to help us be the truest and greatest of ourselves. They want to be on our journey with us. They're helping us to be the best and greatest. And that makes them feel good. It makes us feel good. And we don't have to carry the hurt and baggage that they had, because if they hurt us, they were hurt.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't them also, because most of the time, like my mom, it wasn't all her. She was being driven by a dark possession, which was alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
And it was taking over her by a third dimensional frequency. And I'm not trying to, you know, not have her have a responsibility for what she did to me, but she didn't want me here. She would often try to take my life. And my little sister witnessed it. Often children that are from abuse, there'll be one kid at school that gets bullied. One in my class I did at Omega, there was a couple girls in the room said they were the kid that got picked on over and over again, or they were the one child in the house that got beat. Maybe they're the ones that are standing out, right? That are here to do something great.
Yeah.
This happens.
So have you had conversations with your mom since, or are you just, has the healing happened through the co-healing you guys do together for others?
Oh, no, no. I speak to her all the time from the other side. Yeah.
And has she addressed some stuff?
Oh, yeah. And this is what's great about some of my, I do classes of 8 and 10, grief classes. And a lot of women come to me that have had children commit suicide. A lot of women come to me that have lost children or husbands, and they want to speak to them from the other side. It's very easy to me to contact people from the other side that want to make amends. And my mom comes in very quickly for me. And our relationship now is healed. And the next book I'm dedicating to her.
But it's such an important, I mean, your relationship with your mom is such a beautiful teacher for people because, I mean, I don't know how many kids have gone through as much shit as you have with the person you're supposed to trust the most. And so then to be able to say, no, no, but look at it from this different way and then see what can happen. Because now you said she passed when you were in your early 20s. So now you have all these years in this incarnation, still with a relationship with her that's actually much healthier than the amount of time hopefully you had with her before.
Yeah. But I always loved her though, even when she was not good to me. And so this is also women that are battered by their husbands or narcissists, women that are in relationships with men or women with women, anyone that's with somebody that is not good to them, that love them. You sometimes love them anyway. This just happens. So it is something that we're learning right now, how to have boundaries, but still love people and understand how you can support them. From the other side, we still can support our relationships even when they're crossed over.
It's so important though, because, you know, especially, and talk about the fifth dimension, we can get into that. And we're talking about just anyone like raising their frequency. It's about living in love, right? And that's always the trick. I'm sure most people who are, you know, entering these journeys of like, but how do you love someone who's such an asshole? Or how do you love someone who's treated me like this? Or how do I love my husband who beats me? Though, like, I agree with you. That's probably more people have the problem of loving and can't let go in that area. But talk about that, this idea that in the universe, like, boundaries are fully acceptable. It's like you can hold love and distance simultaneously.
Absolutely. We have to have a lot of self-care. We have to set boundaries right now with ourselves and understand that there are many types of relationships. In my book, I talk about the 3D to the 5D relationship. There's a lot going on right now with understanding that not only having relationships with people that have crossed over that want to heal their relationships with us and help us grow, but we have relationships right now in society where people set their boundaries with us, but we have to set our boundaries with them. And when we get strong and healthy and learn the pathway of the fifth dimension, and we start growing and getting strong and healthy, we may be in a relationship with somebody, we may even be married to them, and they're not getting up to our speed of spirituality. So maybe you're growing and becoming more spiritual and healthy, and the partner maybe you've been married to or in a relationship with, or even your children are not growing up to that spirituality. And so what do you do then?
What do you do?
Exactly. You don't say goodbye. You try to help and teach. Everybody's teachable. We can't say we know everything all the time. So that's where you have to start being patient and kind, but you have to be willing to teach and see if they're willing to learn. And so that's where books like mine is there for these people, and lessons and going to classes and seeing if the partner or children that you are with or wherever they're at are open to learning. The thing is that I feel where we're at right now in the world is that we do have to move into this energy, because if we don't, people are getting sick if they don't.
Talk about that a little bit more. And talk a little bit for those who don't understand. A lot of this audience has listened to so many podcasts where we talk about the fifth dimension versus third dimension, et cetera. But just do a quick little overview. And then talk a little bit about what you mean, how if you're not kind of like pulling yourself into this higher frequency, you're getting sick.
Well, there's many ways to get, let's say, healthy. So if you talk about getting healthy, there's people that do meditation every day, breath work, eating well, which is organic lifestyle eating that I talk about in my book. There's prayer, there's exercise, there's listening to good music. I mean, there's people that do detoxing. There's so many different types of retreats. There's people that do ayahuasca. There's people that do, I mean, we could go through so many things that people go into.
The way I love that you refer to Eminem in your book as like music for you, which I thought was great, because I think, you know, first of all, I love Eminem, but besides that, you know, there's always this idea of like, nope, you can't listen to rap music because that is a bad vibration and that's not good for you. But so I actually really appreciated that.
Yeah. I look at everybody, because I look at all different ages. So people that come to me, I get 12-year-olds, I get 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. I love yoga. I love walking. I love the hiking. I just feel ego or ego. I feel it's so important to reach out to anybody for anything that makes you feel good. So when I talk about music, anything from George Winston to Eminem to Satnam Kaur, anything that you can put on that raises your vibration, I love doing. So every day I do at least 10 to 15 minutes of journaling in the morning, writing down your intentions of the day. I get up in the morning and I say, I'm ready for my miracle. So everybody should have at least five things that you write down in the morning of gratefuls. Like, what are you grateful for in the morning before you're even ready to go? Yeah. And then at night, again, what were you grateful for today?
I love that.
Yeah. Every day you're gratefuls. And this is even for young children, because I think young kids right now have it really hard because they're being pressured at school with peers and stuff. And a lot of kids really love getting out there and being influencers. And I really feel also a lot of younger kids out there feel pressured about what group do I fit into? Mm. You know, and a lot of them love the fifth dimension and what is getting into a dimensional frequency. How can I get into that frequency? And what is the energy of God? How do I get into the energy of this energy field of a multidimensional energy?
How, so can we talk about the influencer thing for a second? So when you communicate with, you know, your guides and spirits, like what, and knowing like where the universe is going, where the, we're going as kind of a collective, what role is that playing in all of this?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So for me, I can only speak for me. I don't control anything. I let it go and it flows. So for me, I feel like a lot of the, I have to go where the youth goes, where the younger generation goes, because the kids are where we are going. And where the youth goes, which is the 20-year-olds and younger, 30-year-olds, they go no. The 20-year-olds is what's important for me, because they're our hope. And what's important is we're influencing our planet, the organic energy, no more hormones, no plastic, how we eat, and how we generate the energy of health. So for me, when I go through a person's body and I'm scanning them through my mediumship, and I say, oh, well, she has a lump on her breast, or she has an energy in her abdomen. How I communicate that with my mind and my brain, how I can go through a body that fast, and my brain can do energetically scanning somebody through the guides. They say they want me to teach that. They want me to also teach how to activate people's hands and dismiss it off of people's bodies. Because why? Because it's faster to heal. And if we could heal ourselves that way, which we know we can, that's what's going to be the future in the next 10 years. So this is what's important. And the youth wants to do that also, learn how to dismiss energies off their body. Because the brain and the energy with us in the fifth dimensional consciousness can do it. Now, in the book, I was studied at three institutes, SciTech, IONS, and Dr. Shealy. We did 21 blind studies of people, but I do this daily. Now, the thing is, it's easy to do, and people can do it quickly, dismissing energies off their body. Mm. Now, what dimension is that in? That's a fifth dimensional and beyond energy. Now, when I normally do an energy frequency scan, that's just like going to an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever, people will go, okay, yeah, I do have a cyst on my breast, or I do have a brain tumor, or maybe they won't know they have it. They'll go get it checked and they'll say, oh, I did find out I have it. Cool. Or maybe I'll say, oh, your mitral valve is off. They'll say, oh my God, I better go get an EEG. Now, why can't everybody have that?
Right.
Why can't everybody develop that in their brain? Guess what they're saying?
They can.
Absolutely. Now, there's classes like Reiki. Reiki can't activate the brain like that. But the guys are saying in the next probably 5 to 7 years, everybody's brain will be activated like that.
Just naturally.
Yeah. Well, no, it's going to take some technique to learn. But vastly, the new age group of the 10 to 20-year-old kids coming in are awakening their star seeds and crystals to learning how to do this. And this is really important. Also, people that right now that are here that want to learn to do it, like when I was at Omega, we did some teaching there, are open to it.
So interesting. Two things. Like when you scan, is that something you have to like say, this is what I'm doing right now? Or have you ever like walked into a room or sat down with a friend for like dinner or a drink and been like, oh shit. Like you just see something.
I'm like Edgar Casey was a trance channel where he laid down and was asleep and he laid next to a body and he would dictate. I don't know if you knew a lot about Edgar Casey, but he would put him to sleep and he's very cool. He would dictate as he was sleeping. So I'm what you called a trance channeler, which kind of looks like I'm kind of half asleep sometimes as I'm blinking, but I'm always channeling. I don't go off and come on. So yes, you're correct. I can sit at a table and I could look at somebody and know what they have, but I am learning to turn it off more so I don't die young. Edgar Casey died young because he was falling asleep a lot. So I don't want to trance constantly because I don't want to die young. So I try to turn it off more now. So I'm not trancing 24/7. My assistants are like, don't do it constantly. It's easy for me to fall in it constantly. So I learning to stop it more and not, you know, keep my eyes open more. So the thing is that I love it though. I love it.
That's great.
I love doing it. It's so much fun. And I want to teach people to do it. And I did a lot of teaching in Omega. People were really excited. It took me 1 minute, 1 minute to put a ligament that a lady had torn out of her wrist and was in a cast back in.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so easy for me. And to take a lump out of someone's breast, it's like that.
That's the future.
This is fun.
What's the correlation? Explain a little bit more the correlation of kind of trancing too much and diminishing of life.
Because what happens is that you can read up on trancers and people that when you're letting the energy of Christ's light come through, especially because I'm the healer too, I'm a trans channel and healer. I'm both. So then there's me telling what's going on, and then they use me to heal. So if you ever see me at an expo, there's like lots of people, and then I'm in the office doing it. When there's the big events, that's when they really use me a lot because they like to show off.
Right. I love that. I love that.
Because they want their work praised. It's not anything about me. They're just using me because they want it shown that this is here and they want to be joyous. So there's been times where, so how the book got published was one of the publishers came out to see the work at the expo. And the reason it's called The Awakening to the Fifth Dimension is because they chose that name because somebody from the audience came up, she has a lump. And I said, would you like it taken out? She said, yes. I said, say you're in the fifth dimension. And she said, I'm in the fifth dimension. And then I put my hand over it. Actually, it was someone that's a producer at the expo. And we just lightly went over it and it dismissed out.
Wow.
And we said, Hashem, Hashem. And it's just, huh.
And
that's dimension.
I love that you keep using the word to dismiss energy, which, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, sounds very intentional, because the idea of like letting go or, you know, get rid of, dismissing really puts you in power. It's like you're in charge and you're basically saying you're allowed to stay or you're not, time to go. It's really interesting, the choice of word. Is there any intention behind that?
They blink five again because everything is the energy. And like a lot of times when I first started doing this, very right in the beginning, I was only doing these like large nodes that go around the throat that they accumulate. Those nodes would go into the thyroid, then they go down into the lymph glands. It seems to be, with my specific work, a lot of lumps around the breast, prostate, is things that I've been chosen to do specifically. Lots of breast lumps, prostate for me, very successful for me. And I would hear, and it's in the book too. It's interesting you picked that up. I hear them say, dissolve and dismiss now.
Dissolve.
And they just dissolve.
Dissolve and dismiss. It's interesting. It's really interesting. And I'm sure, because you've kind of alluded to this already, are there times where, let's say, you scan and you're like, okay, I feel this stuff, and you go to kind of help dissolve and dismiss, and they say, no, like, we're not doing that?
Nope. They never say no. The person will go around and they'll say the prayer, and I'll say the prayer, and then their neck is completely clear off.
They never say no. So it's never like, nope, this is that person's time. This is not about healing. It's
they're just like silk. And then they'll put their hand over their heart and they'll bow down. Now, afterwards, they have to do the treatment. They'll have to do the prayer and their new nutritional plan and their water. And the water is very important because our water is not good. So the water is really important that we move on and we drink the right water.
And I found that interesting too in the book. A couple of things. A, it's so hard though. How do you have, it's hard, right? Because not all the water you're given is clean, and even these filter systems, which one's which and which ones actually work? I have that question. But I found it interesting because you even said, don't take baths in non-filtered water.
I find probably 80% of my clients with urinary tract infections, ovarian cancers, immune system issues, which a lot of people have the immune system issues. First thing when you come into my office, if you come see me personally, you fill out a little form. And the form is just your address and things. And what kind of water are you drinking? Do you take a bath in tap water? Even people with like billion-dollar home system, filter systems are getting cancer because they don't, there's no proof that those last very long. And I hate people spending so much money on their home systems.
The filter thing is really hard. I feel the same way. I always feel like it's the equivalent of bringing someone like me, not everyone, but if I bring like my car to the auto shop and all they have to do is look under the hood and tell me a bunch of things. And I just have to be like, great. Yeah, believe you. Cause I don't know. It's like such a foreign language to me. And I feel like it's the same thing. Someone can come and be like, this does reverse osmosis and ionize and blah, 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 blah. And before you only have to change it, blah, blah, blah. And your water is going to be as clean. And I'm like, great. Because I don't know. I can't look at it. I don't know the difference. I don't know if it's clean, not clean. It's true. So what do you recommend?
So I got involved with some really interesting people. So I started hanging out with some of these scientist people. And I don't know if you know David Avocado Wolf.
What a phenomenon. Did he name himself?
No, it's David. David Avocado Wolf has been around quite a long time. He does a lot of herbs and Ron Tea Garden. And
we'll have to get him on.
Hawkins, and there are these kind of really into raw food. And, and they do a lot of science type stuff. And I started talking to some of those guys, and I started really investigating and testing the water when I got to Ions. And I looked into the fluoride. And then when I worked at the hospital, I was on oncology, and I started seeing, and this is a very deep conversation with water, something called aspergillus. And aspergillus has been a big thing in many hospitals, and they actually had to shut down. I won't name the hospitals right here, but quite a few hospitals, even in Los Angeles, that were
positive with aspergillus.
Doing some pretty bad things to people and spreading in units and stuff. And let's just say if you are a cancer patient and you're going through chemo and you're coming home, and this is why I go on a lot of shows and I talk about this, and you're doing everything you can to help yourself, even if you have COVID, and you get a session with Kimberly, you don't have to tell me anything. And I scan you and my eyes go off on your lung, and I scan you and I say, and I know sometimes people go, when I do a scan with Kimberly, she's good. I'm like a nosy Jewish grandma. Every single thing, I'm going to know that you're not doing the right things, because I'm going to know what you need. So that's the thing. If you do a reading with me, I'm going to help you. But the thing is, you've got to have a filter on your shower, because if you're going to all these treatments, it's not going to help if you're taking a shower and you're breathing in these chemicals, because you want everything to line up. Now, the water is not the issue. It's the steam from the water. When you're breathing steam, it goes in and attacks the lungs and it lowers your immune system. So if you're doing all the good things, say you're on chemo, if you're eating the right food, you're taking the right vitamins, and then you're going and taking a shower and breathing in the steam, then you just ruined all the good plan that you're on.
And so then how do you know what filter to put on these things?
I'm getting there.
I'm sorry.
And then the bathtub, if you have little kids taking baths or you're taking a bath, you want to make sure you have a good bath, because you want to make sure it's nice and clean. Now, I have looked high and low. The only bath ball that I ever found, there's only one. It's called Rain Shower, RAINSHOWER. This man is so brilliant. He created a company called Rain Shower. He's the only manufacturer I ever found that has this bath ball. It's like 3,000 baths. You put it in the tub. You leave it in for like 15 minutes. You take it out. You can use 3,000 baths. It's like $30-something. That's all. I don't know any other product out there that does this. He died recently.
What does it do exactly?
It takes all the pollutants out of the water.
Wow. I got to get one of those. I love a bath.
$30. If I was a billionaire zillionaire, I would buy
the company.
Millions of them and give them to all the kids in downtown LA.
Yeah.
Homes that don't have these, because a lot of those children, they come to me and you want to know what they have. Rashes, scratches, all kinds of immune suppressed conditions.
And it's sad because, again, these are all conversations that are not even side notes, because it makes it sound not as important, but they're like periphery of this idea of, hey, you need to take care of yourself to help raise your vibration to bring you to this fifth dimension where kind of all this magic happens, where you can take care of yourself. But then as you're talking about, there's kids in downtown LA or people who it's like it's impossible to get there without even realizing it.
We're in a third dimensional state of crisis with our humanity at the moment. At the same time, our fifth dimensional consciousness needs to be raised, but our third dimensional welfare and humanity needs action right now. So my book has that, a lot of information about consciousness, but also third dimensional health and consciousness in there too. I do have this in the book about the balance.
No, and I remember seeing that.
Thank you. And I do have in the book about getting the rain shower filter, which is most of the stuff in my book is very, very inexpensive. I don't sell anything. I just tell you where to go get things.
Which is fantastic.
So also, I feel that the shower head would be good too. You can get any shower head you want to get for your filter. Also, another really quick tidbit I want to say to everybody, don't drink out of the refrigerator. A lot of my clients are like, and my clients are so cute too. When I get on with them, sometimes on my Zoom, they're like, I'm drinking really good water. I'm drinking the refrigerator. I'm like, the refrigerator is dead water for you. It doesn't have any nutrition, but I'm happy you're not drinking out of plastic.
Right. Well, that's good. So there's a benefit there. So yeah, what's the best way to drink water?
Refrigerator water does have a myth. I think it's good, but the filter doesn't last more than a week.
Oh,
and
God.
There's no nutrients in it. Yeah. You're better off getting a filter for the sink but a good water to cook with. And a good water is like Mountain Valley spring water is great. It has potassium in it and it comes in glass. And you're better off drinking just a really good water in glass.
Hmm.
Like Mountain Valley is a great water.
That's so crazy. So it's interesting. What about, I feel like there's, you know, my daughter has allergies, so it's been on the top of my mind. Like it feels like allergies are a big thing too. And is that part of kind of what you're saying, people reacting to this environment? I mean, obviously that's what an allergy is. I mean, specifically this environment where like...
Yeah, allergies are from food, environmental pollution, toxins. Normally when I do a session, I break it down. I'll find out within probably 10 to 15 minutes what an allergy is coming from with a person. I can go through what they're eating. I'll scan the body. Normally it is something they're eating or being around in their job or home. It's pretty quick for me to figure it out.
I mean, that's amazing. Because I think the amount of time it takes people to figure that, like what's their trigger, it's miserable. I mean, their life is ruined almost. They can't function. They can't breathe. It's awful.
Yeah. And I also find out with the root cause, I'll find out if it's stress related. I'm very good with hormones. I don't like bioidentical hormones.
What does that mean exactly?
A lot of bioidentical hormones have a lot of side effects. So a lot of people taking bioidentical hormones, they usually get off them with me and I get them on the right kind of foods to take. I mean, sometimes you do need to take them for a while, but most clients don't want to be on bioidentical hormones more than 8 years.
I'm with you. I always find when you start seeing these people that have like rows of medications they're taking, I'm like, oh my God. It's like, it makes my whole body cringe because I'm like, everything's doing something different to your systems. And then that one's altering your system this way. And then this one, and it's like, your system's not even running close to its natural state anymore. And so,
yeah.
Cause I remember one time my parents are doctors. I'm not anti-medicine at all. Yeah. But I am a big believer of also try to systemically change some stuff and there's so much out there that is for your health and created in this universe for your health that we don't even touch. And I remember once I was on this fake Facebook page that I've been on forever. It's like a mommy thing. And this woman was like, guys, what do I do? All of a sudden I hit like whatever, it was like 40 and I just feel like everything's falling apart. I mean, all of a sudden everything's wrong with me. I have the headache and I have this and I have this. And I mean, the list was long. And so everyone's literally giving tons of advice, like, well, for your back, go do this. And for this, you do this and blah, 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 blah. And I wrote, hey, if you're open to it at all, and if you're not, no worries. But, you know, even though I'm for all these things, sometimes if you have this many things going wrong, there's probably more of like one thing you need to shift, and you'd be surprised, maybe changing diet or some stuff. And the response I got was like, I'm not opposed to that, but I'm going to talk to the doctors first. And I remember saying to my husband, I was like, when your list starts to get that long with that many things wrong, why do you want to play this ping pong game of like whack-a-mole of trying to like, if I fix this one and then I'll fix this one, like, why wouldn't you take three steps back and be like, how can I put different stuff in my body that just might make me overall a healthier being?
Right.
I find it fascinating that you wouldn't, and that's like and it's a cheaper fix usually.
Yeah. I love working with Western and Eastern medicine. And I love when doctors come to me too, because I grew up with hospitals and I have my cousin's a doctor. I have a lot of nurse, my aunt's a nurse, and me becoming a medical intuitive medium and holistic, acupuncturist even, and healer, and having this other side to me that's a psychic is so interesting to me. And then I do healing. And it's so bizarre. And I love that I have all these modalities. And even in my office, I do cold laser therapy. And when doctors and nurses come to me, and most of my friends are nurses and doctors, and they're like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. I'm taking too many vitamins and it's hurting my gallbladder and liver. Right. And when you recommend, Kimberly, this one vitamin that has all of this stuff. And one of my best friends is a neurologist. And when I had my two near-death experiences, one of my favorite friends, he's a pulmonary specialist. He sat by my bed and held my hand for 2 weeks, getting me through it. I love him so much. I mean, we all have to work together. We're all a family. And when we realize that, the world will be a better place when we all work together.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And it's... that's so interesting. So back to your near-death experiences.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, we don't even have to get into all the details, but we can. But more like, it's interesting because the more you spoke on this podcast, you realize, oh, you were, so much was already clicking in place actually before your near-death experiences. Was it more the near-death experience shook you to fully accept it and own it? What do you feel like it catalyzed for you in your life?
I have to say that the NDEs, there was a real great sadness to after the near-death experiences, because I lost my fiance of 9 years and I lost my ability to walk the way I used to walk. I lost an organ. I lost a lot after the near-death experiences, but I gained a sense of who I was back when I was a child. The blinking appeared back, and I don't want to get emotional.
Please, it would not be the first.
But I gained this experience, which was this extreme, profound, I can't even explain it, ball of light that came through my eyes, chest pounding on my chest that was so hard when I had the experience. That was very frightening to get the blinking that came back. And the 2 years that I spent in the wheelchair was the most frightening experience of my life, to think that I would never even walk like I am. My walking is good. I'm not running like the way I used to be a runner. And I used to be an avid hiker. And I'm not doing that. But I'm excited that for my future still. And I love doing what I do. And I'm grateful to be alive. And I'm grateful to have the connection with my guides and my spirits. And I'm grateful to be the psychic I am.
When you, I remember when you were talking about the pounding on your chest.
Yeah.
In the first near-death experience. And you said you heard you have to eat.
Yeah.
What was that about?
That was the second one. I was 94 pounds. Yeah. And I was, I couldn't eat because in the first accident, I had crushed my jaw and I lost my kidney because I hadn't been drinking and I had a severe head concussion.
So it is crazy. Say that again.
Subdermal hematoma.
It's amazing. If you had just gone and treated it right away, it would have been a totally different story, correct?
I did go get some help, but I wanted to still do my job.
But you believe everything's for a reason, right? Like that's exactly the path that was supposed to happen.
It wasn't that long. It was a matter of a week. I didn't last that long.
But it's amazing how, and talk about, so you lost your fiance. Could he just not handle the changes?
I didn't really necessarily lose him. He just didn't understand my blinking. The eyes were blinking and I was becoming, my voice started to become a channel. I started becoming something different. I didn't even know what was happening. He didn't leave because I was disabled, because I was in the wheelchair. He was taking care of me. He's a good person. He just didn't understand the blinking and the channeling.
Right. Do you talk to him at all?
No.
Isn't it so interesting how your life can just be one way and then another? You see that more than anyone.
I was very lonely. I still am. It's not that long ago. It's still very much a shift for me.
And it's funny. You can hear all these answers for like other people, but do you ever ask certain questions for yourself?
I do. I'm in deep meditation every day and I stay very close to my guides and my angels and I'm very grateful.
Yeah. I mean,
very, very grateful. I'm so grateful to be alive.
I mean, the gratitude is palpable. I mean, you can feel it as you talk. And I mean, it's one of the things you say, and you said in the beginning of this episode that gratitude is a huge catalyst for the frequency shift, correct?
Absolutely. I live in gratitude. I'm grateful for everybody I've met. I'm grateful for all my clients. I'm grateful for my life. Yes.
Well, we're grateful for you because you're doing such beautiful work.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'm so thankful that you came and took the time and shared with us. I mean, you guys, the book Awakening in the Fifth Dimension has, as she said, tons of things to do to help, you know, clean yourself, take care of yourself, raise your vibration. And also, like you said, just the things of like, here's where you can go get good water. Here's how you can filter here. You know, I think you even had recommendation. Here's who you can go to for energy cleaning. I mean, you're really, it's beautiful.
Thank you. And I have some, affirmation prayer. It's so funny. I just opened up to the magical fifth dimensional peace prayer.
Ooh,
I want to people spread peace to everybody out there. Okay, we'll say, I love being in the magical fifth dimensional frequency of love and peace, where all is pure, where existence is non-judgmental, and awareness is beyond all time and all space and all place. in this magical fifth dimension, humans can do all, be all, and thereby find miraculous healing. The love of the omnipresent is centered on all civilizations and focused on love and service. Love is simple and easy. In the fifth dimension, we move the world forward into this gigantic organic field where healing is easy and fast. Because we are all multidimensional beings, we can have this beautiful existence where the omnipresent is here for us, gentle and safe and loving and kind, pure, flowing of spirit, guiding us to be strong, building a daily intimacy with God and the divine. Therefore, we are healed. Namaste.
Thank you. That was so beautiful.
Thank you. Sending you love, Tao.
Yeah,
so much to you.
Same back. You're amazing. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You're so much loved.